Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So we all know the story by now. A few months ago, 90 players were polled by The Athletic, and they were asked, who's the most overrated player in the league? Tyrese Haliburton was first with 14.4% of the vote. Rudy Gobert was second with 10% of the vote. 8.9% was Trae Young. 5.5% was Jimmy Butler. 4.4%, and also you had 4.4% for four players. It was Bradley Beal, Draymond Green, Ja Morant, and Julius Randle. Then 3.3% said Joel Embiid. And then somehow 2.2% said Giannis Antetokounmpo. So Tyrese Haliburton, after having a 30-plus point triple-double, zero turnovers, by the way, in Game 4 and taking a commanding 3-1 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals and being one win away from taking the Pacers to the NBA Finals. The last 24 hours, deservedly so, have been a slobberfest over Tyrese Haliburton, as it should be. And if you were someone that walking into this series was like, oh, I'm still on the fence and I still think Tyrese Haliburton is overrated, I don't understand how you could say that right now. And Brian Geltzeiler, who joined us earlier, he said, if I asked you for the next 5 years, would you rather have Jalen Brunson or would you rather have Tyrese Haliburton? You know, he said he'd rather have Tyrese Haliburton. And I don't think that's crazy to say. I really don't. Now, neither player plays great defense, let's be real. Haliburton, he scores a bunch. I think Brunson is the better pure scorer, but I do think Haliburton is the better all-around player. And also, if this goes the way that we're thinking it goes, Halliburton's going to be able to beat Brunson now twice in the playoffs. So I look at this, and I, you know, at least with the Knicks and the Pacers, I look at this, there's no way you could tell me Tyrese Haliburton, just getting the Pacers into the position where they're up 3-1 in the conference finals, he's already exceeded expectations. If you would have told me, oh, the Pacers would have been back to the conference finals before the postseason started, no one would have thought that. You would have thought Cavs, you would have thought Celtics, you would have even maybe given some praise to the Bucks. You would have maybe talked about the Knicks. No one was saying the Pacers go to the conference finals. Even after they beat the Bucks, most people thought that the Cavs were going to go. So they not only beat the Cavs with the number one overall seed, they are now one win away from taking down the New York Knicks. And you look at that team, it's a good team. But if somehow Tyrese Haliburton goes and wins an NBA championship and your 1-2 punch is Tyrese Haliburton and Pascal Siakam, who are both incredibly underrated, I wouldn't say they're either are overrated, but that would be remarkable. Because who was talking about this team? Forget winning a championship, just getting to the NBA Finals or even getting to the conference finals. And they just did so a year ago when they got to the conference finals. So obviously this poll has aged horribly. And this poll was actually, it wasn't even a few months ago. Like, I was like a few months ago, make it sound like it was like 3-4. It was 2 months ago. Or actually, a month ago. It was April 22nd. It's May 29th. That's when this stuff was released. NBA players voted Tyrese Haliburton as league's most overrated player. This tweet I'm looking at was from April 22nd, 2025. Haliburton, out of the 90 votes, Got 14.4%. He was the highest voted player here. So let's do this now, since Halliburton is no longer overrated. And it was stupid then, and it's even dumber now. Let's go around the room, because I think this is a tricky question. It's easy to find out who's the most underrated player. I always think in sports, that's easy to identify. Who's the most underrated player? But when you get to overrated player, it's always a fascinating and tricky question and a slippery slope. So, Stu, I'll start you off. Who do you think is the most overrated player down in the NBA since Tyrese Halliburton can no longer handle that baton?
I think mine is Bradley Beal now with the Phoenix Suns. Now, when he was with the Wizards, he had 2 years where he averaged over 30 points per game. We thought he was a, you know, borderline top 10 player. He goes to the Suns. Everyone's like, okay, they have this big three with him, Durant, and Booker. And he just looks like a guy that – there's always guys that average a lot of points on bad teams, but they aren't good on good teams. And he's one of those guys. And it's been a disaster, really, these 2 years that he's been with the Suns.
And think about what the expectation is now for Bradley Beal. The expectation wasn't to be the guy. It was to be the third guy. That Durant and Devin Booker are viewed better, obviously, than Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's problem, he stayed with the Wizards way too long. It was almost very reminiscent of Dame, where he didn't want to be the bad guy. At least the Portland Trailblazers had some postseason moments. The Wizards have been a decrepit franchise for a long time. And Bradley Beal, I felt like for years, just didn't want to be the bad guy that forced his way out. I'm sorry, when you think of passionate fan bases that are going to hold a grudge, do I think the Washington Wizards? No, I do not. I'm not even, you know, I just said I'm sorry. I am apologizing for saying I'm sorry, because not even Wizards fans would be like, oh yeah, I wouldn't have held a grudge against Bradley Beal. He waited way too long. So that's a good one with Bradley Beal, because at one point that was a guy that averaged back-to-back 30-point seasons. And what his career has become, where you look at from 2016 to really through 2021, he was averaging 23.1, 22.6, 25.6, 30.5, 31.3. And then since then, 23.2, 23.2, back-to-back seasons, last two with the Wizards. With the Suns, 53 games played in both years, 18.2 and 17.0. Gives you very little in the rebounding department. And at one point, when he was with the Wizards, he was averaging like 6 to 7 assists a game. With the Suns, 5.0, 3.7. So not a career where Bradley Beal was, I think, was always viewed as the underrated player, right? Like, oh, he's maybe not underappreciated. I know that that's very synonymous, but with what he did for so long with the Wizards and just him, it was like, oh yeah, he's underappreciated. He just needs to go somewhere else. And then when he goes somewhere else, you waited way too long, and you're right, Stu. He's someone that I think if you bring up Bradley Beal, most people be like, oh yeah, very good player. The last 2 years have just been a disaster, an unmitigated disaster for the Phoenix Suns, and probably more of the blame goes on KD and Devin Booker, but Bradley Beal is right there as well, right at the top of the list. Samter, who's your most overrated player in the NBA?
So this is going to hurt some people, but I think Stu has the right team, but the wrong guy.
Okay.
I'm looking at Devin Booker. I love Devin Booker. You look at his stats, statistically, he looks great. 25 points a game, right? He's average a variety of good, over 25 or 27 points a game, 28 points a game, 27 points a game. All these things look great. Dude's made 3 All-Star teams. We know how easy it is to make an All-Star team. PER, the Hollinger PER, player efficiency rating, to me, is one of those stats that is just kind of inside the stat. A guy can score 28 points a game, but if they're shooting 21 times a game and they're shooting 45% from the field, that's not that great. You're not that efficient. In his career, Devin Booker, starting from his rookie season on, in PER rankings, 244, 244th place, 112th, 59th, 45th, 40th, 33rd, 23rd, 22nd, and this year he was the 52nd ranked player in NBA PER. I love Devin Booker, but it's time to start pumping the brakes on this guy being the number one and building a team around him. He's a number two. But he's not a number one.
But do people say he's a number one?
I mean, the whole process has been, let's bring in KD, let's bring in Beal, let's
KD
bring in CP3.
But KD to me is viewed as the number one.
I don't think they brought him in to be the number one. They brought him in to be This is Booker's team. KD's going to be his guy.
I think people always view Devin Booker as this. You need someone else around him. He's a guy that could pop off and go score you, have one of those crazy nights where he gets you 50, 60 points. He's a killer scorer. You know, he did make the NBA third team this year. You know, am I going to sit there and say that he's unbelievable and he's phenomenal? No. It's funny. You said Bradley Beal. You said Devin Booker. I could just as easily, and this is not the guy that I'm going with, I could just as easily go with Kevin Durant. Now that I think about this more, and don't get me wrong, KD is one of the all-time greats, right? He's a top 20 player of all time. But this dude, he left the Golden State Warriors because, oh, you can't win a championship on your own, right? Even though he won two finals MVPs, oh, you need Steph. Oh, you need Draymond. You need Steve Kerr. You need Klay Thompson. And I understand what KD did with the Nets in that one run. Now, his foot was on the line. If it wasn't, they'd probably go on to win that series. Who knows what they would have done? And KD, I think, him not having the backbone to be a real leader is what cooked him with the Brooklyn Nets, because he needed to pick James Harden over Kyrie Irving and tell Kyrie to shut the bleep up. But since going to Phoenix, I think that was the guy that was supposed to lift them over the top from a team with Devin Booker that got to the NBA Finals, had a 2-0 lead, and they gagged it away to the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton. But Durant, since leaving the Golden State Warriors, his numbers are phenomenal. I understand that. But that's supposed to be the dude that delivers a championship. He didn't do so in Brooklyn, and he didn't even come close. Didn't even come close to doing so with the Phoenix Suns. I'll give you mine. Mine is actually a guy that's won an MVP. I'm going Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is viewed to be a top five player in the league. Joel Embiid is not Nikola Jokic. Joel Embiid is not Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you're just going for bigs, Joel Embiid, as an individual talent, some things that he does in a basketball court, yes, stupid good, ridiculous. But Joel Embiid is constantly out of shape. Joel Embiid is constantly injured. Joel Embiid, I understand management has been messy there in Philadelphia. Josh Harris is a good football owner now. He is not a good basketball owner or governor, whatever word that they use. But when you look at Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic won a championship with Jamal Murray as the second best player. Giannis did so with Chris Middleton as the second best player. You had a chance up against the Raptors. That was their best team. You had Jimmy Butler. Couldn't get the job done. You've had Tyrese Maxey. Couldn't get the job done. You know, I know the Paul George thing blew up in their face. But you look around, and I understand, right, Ben Simmons was a pain in the ass. I'm not putting that on Joel Embiid. But a lot of times people talk about the Sixers roster management, and that's what's held Joel Embiid back. Fair point. Totally get it. But also, that excuse has been used many times to kind of cover up some of the playoff shortcomings by Joel Embiid. You know, I know we all look back at that series up against the Hawks. Oh, Ben Simmons passed up the ball. Should have just got the layup or threw down the dunk. Joel Embiid had turnovers. You know, you go back to the series in Boston. I know you could say which one, but that was even, I think it was like 2017, 2018, something like that, where Joel Embiid, he got shut down late where they ended up losing that series. I want to say it was in game 5. You know, there have been moments that have been covered up of Joel Embiid just becoming a turnover machine late in postseason series. And you even go back to the last time they played Boston in the playoffs, a last memorable time when James Harden had a few good games. They got ran off the court in that final game, and Joel Embiid did nothing. So Joel Embiid won an MVP. Joel Embiid has been a great player. But when you look at Joel Embiid, people say top five player in the NBA. Well, there's a lot of top five players in the NBA that have won championships. And it's not like you look at Chris Middleton, anyone thought he was a stud. I like Jamal Murray. No one's going to sit there and on a stereotypical championship team, Jamal Murray is probably more of a 3 than a 2, if we're just being honest. So I get it. He's a 7-time All-Star. I get it. He's won an MVP. But what are Sixers fans, what were they trying to push for years? Oh, Embiid's better than the Joker. Oh, Embiid's better than the Greek Freak. Well, those two guys won championships. Those two guys have also won more MVPs than your guys. Nikola has 3, Giannis has 2. And I understand Joel Embiid could be unbelievable defensively. He could stretch the court. The threes are unbelievable. But how many times I have to see there, and forget the injuries, right? Because you can't control injuries. But how many times I have to sit there and see Joel Embiid be out of shape at the end of the season? Or how many times I have to sit there and see him turn over the basketball in a big game? And you could sit there and say, oh, well, the team was never constructed the right way. You know, he's had James Harden. He's had Jimmy Butler. He's had Tyrese Maxey. He's had guys. And I understand things didn't always go perfectly in Philadelphia. The Colangelos were a disaster there, right? Yeah, you look back, I think Daryl Morey is one of the most overrated executives in sports. I didn't just say that just because he got to Philly. I've been saying that since Houston, for crying out loud. But Embiid is viewed as this great top five player in the league. And a lot of times, those players find a way to win a championship. Jason Tatum did. Nikola Jokic did. Giannis Antetokounmpo did. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's on the verge of doing it right now. But let's just keep it to the Joker, and let's just keep it to Giannis. Embiid's third on that list. And how many years do I have to sit here and hear, Embiid's better than Joker? No chance. Not even close. No, Embiid's better than Giannis. Nope, he ain't. So in a way, I think Joel Embiid is overrated now. Doesn't mean he doesn't do some stupid good things on the basketball court. Doesn't mean he's not a great player. But Joel Embiid just being a great player, that's not good enough. This dude had a higher ceiling than that. And there's many times in the postseason that the warts of the Sixers, which is fair to blame Ben Simmons, fair to blame James Harden, fair to blame Daryl Morey, fair to blame Brian Colangelo, but Embiid's had some bad turnovers. Some really bad turnovers. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Who's the most overrated player in the NBA? When this poll came out a little over a month ago, Halliburton was number one at 14.4%. You could just cross that off. Gobert was second with 10%, Trae Young at 8.9%, Jimmy Butler 5.5%, Bradley Beal, Draymond Green, Ja Morant, Julius Randle, all at 4.4%. Joel Embiid at 3.3%, and Giannis Antetokounmpo was at 2.2%. I'll tell you, as egregious as it was with Tyrese Halliburton, who the heck voted for Giannis Antetokounmpo? Who were those bozos? That's actually, I think, the most offensive thing on the list. Don't get me wrong, the Halliburton stuff's stupid. But Giannis, overrated? Huh? Guy won a championship in Milwaukee with Chris Middleton as his second player. He's the second best player in the league, Giannis. That makes no sense to me.
The weird thing for me was not necessarily that Halliburton was overrated, but who at that time was like praising Halliburton as this great player?
No, the people, you looked at Halliburton and he's viewed as the number one on the Pacers. I would say with some of the Olympic stuff too, and just the run that they had, maybe it was just based off what they did from a year ago that people just didn't think the hype that he got a year ago was warranted. I don't understand that when you got to a conference finals, even though they ended up losing. So I want to say, I think it's tough to answer who's the most overrated player. And I think that's what you kind of see when you get the results that look this way. So I guess that's how I would answer it. Did most people say going into this year, yeah, Halliburton's going to win a championship but as a number one? No, that's why I think he's underrated. Because all that guy has done is exceeded expectations. Heck, you even look back at the draft with Halliburton, he fell. Actually, we have that audio. Here's Tyrese Halliburton with Taylor Rooks on Bleacher Report talking about on teams that passed on him in the draft.
Of the teams that passed on you, was there one that felt the most personal?
For sure. Detroit. I mean, there are a lot of teams I wanted to go to. I like Golden State a lot. That was like dream. But I knew they probably wouldn't pick me at two. My workout with them, I probably missed like five shots. I'm giving you my best possible interview here. I was like, they're still probably not going to pick me. The Bulls, I thought would have been cool. The Knicks, the Pistons. With the Pistons, I knew they needed a point guard. I already felt like I was the best point guard in the draft because on ESPN, it has like the top players available. One, two, and three were Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball. So after that, I'm the number one best available. So every pick that's coming up is panning to the camera in my room. And every 5 seconds, I'm popping up. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I remember looking at my agent. He was like, what is this? Like, they're not picking me? Flashed up, Killian Hayes, whatever. And I'm like, what? In the moment, I was just angry. Like, I was like, what do you mean they're not, like, they need a point guard and they're not picking me? So that one definitely felt the most personal, no question.
I always liked Halliburton, but I was fair about him. You know, he was a very good player at Iowa State. But you look back at that draft class, 1, 2, and 3, even though James Wiseman hasn't worked out, 1, 2, and 3 made sense. Like, no one was surprised that Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball, in whatever order, were the first three picks. But after that, if you would have told me that Halliburton would have fell to 12th, I wouldn't have believed that. And the guys that went after him, Patrick Williams, Isaac Okoro, Onyeka Okongwu, Killian Hayes, Obi Toppin, Denny Avdija, the guy from Israel, Jalen Smith, Devin Vassell. Like, look at those guys from 4 to 11. And then you get Tyrese Halliburton ended up going 12. So, once again, the idea that Halliburton was ever overrated was a joke. It was a joke to begin with. But, if anything, he's always been underrated. And everywhere he goes, he exceeds expectations. And by the way, two picks later, Aaron Nesmith did go. So look at that. On this team right now, when you look at the Indiana Pacers and Jalen Smith, he was on the Pacers last year. Now he's on the Bulls. But you look at that team and you just see where that team happened in the draft, even though there weren't all these picks. Obi Toppin went 8. You had Halliburton go 12, and Nesmith did go 14. Now they're all on the same team. And now all three of those guys are one win away from going to the NBA Finals. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll do a little QB conversation next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So with OTA starting back up, we got some quarterbacks here entering this season that Samter has pit up against one another, and I will pick will it be this QB or that QB. Stu, could I get some music, please? All righty, Samter, what do we got?
All right, we all believe that Patrick Mahomes is number one, but the battle for the number two quarterback in the league has always been between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Lamar with his two MVPs. Allen, who is the reigning MVP. Who you got?
I'm going Josh Allen. Josh Allen now has beat Lamar Jackson twice in the postseason. I think Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in the league. It's not saying that Lamar Jackson is all that far behind him. I have Lamar in at three and then Joe Burrow in at four when you look at who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But I think Josh Allen's arm is better, and that's not disrespectful to Lamar because I think Lamar's arm is better than advertised. Clearly, Lamar is a better runner than Josh Allen, but Josh Allen is pretty damn quick and physical as well on the attack on the ground. And also, you look at it, Lamar last year got handed Derrick Henry. And I know DeAndre Hopkins is not this great wide receiver anymore, but he just did get him as well in Baltimore. Josh Allen last year lost to Stephon Diggs and had James Cook as his best skill position player. James Cook is good, but he's no Derrick Henry. And Josh Allen really showed his worth last year. So I will go Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson.
Now we're talking about some second-year quarterbacks, including your quarterback. Two guys who were drafted after the top two guys. Drake May at number three, Bo Nix later on to the Broncos. Which one you got?
I think Bo Nix had a lot more working for him last year because he got paired up with Sean Payton and Drake May got paired up with Alex Van Pelt and Jerod Mayo. Now, I don't think Van Pelt did a terrible job, but May also had no offensive line and not a skill position player that was worth any ounce to really think that there's a future piece there. And Ramondre Stevenson, who was their best skill position player, ended up having a bad year. I think Drake May did some really good things last year where I think he has a higher ceiling than Bo Nix. Bo Nix, to me, very good at Oregon. I think that was more benefit of the system, though. You look at the Denver Broncos, and yeah, I get it. I didn't think the roster was anything all that special last year, but at least some pieces there. I think it's more of a benefit of the system there. And if you put Drake May in Bo Nix's spot last year, I think we'd all be raving about Drake May right now. And people were raving about Drake May last year because they said, wow, he did a lot last season with basically nothing around him. I will say Drake May has the higher ceiling. I'd rather have Drake May over Bo Nix.
Now we go to the former Jets bus. Geno Smith and Sam Darnold, who both had resurgent seasons. Geno now in Vegas for the Raiders, and Darnold taking Geno's place in Seattle.
Geno is probably the better quarterback, but I'd rather have Sam Darnold because he's younger, and I think Geno has maxed out everything where you know what Geno Smith's going to be. At times, he could look like a top 10 quarterback. He's probably 14th, 15th, the best quarterback in the league. Sure, Darnold this past year, he had the luxury of throwing to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, having Aaron Jones in the backfield and Kevin O'Connell as the head coach of that football team. And at the end, it was a disaster for him the last two games of the season. But I'm still curious, in a fine spot, even though you just lost Tyler Lockett, you lost DK Metcalf, but you do have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and you got two solid running backs as well. I'm just curious what the ceiling is for Sam Darnold. I think both are kind of Spider-Man emoji, where I don't think either will ever be viewed as a great. You know, maybe they'll just have some good seasons. But since Darnold is younger, and they're still, in a weird way, a little bit more unknown with Darnold in this next chapter, I would say I would slightly lean Sam Darnold over Geno Smith. But if either of my team's starting quarterback, I'm not expecting to win much.
Now, two quarterbacks who've shown a lot of promise, who've made playoff runs, but just haven't quite found that it, is Justin Herbert and Jordan Love.
I think this is the toughest one. And I'm going to go, I don't think you could pick wrong here, but I don't know if people think Jordan Love has an elite ceiling. People have talked before about Justin Herbert as having an elite ceiling. I think people just look at Jordan Love and they go, very good quarterback. I don't like how either organization has kind of approached the wide receiver situation. I know that the Packers did draft a wide receiver the first time in the first round since 2002 this year in Golden, but you look at the Chargers, did anyone really, like, I like Ladd McConkey. When they used the second-round pick on him, I thought Ladd McConkey should have easily been a first-round pick. But were people saying Ladd McConkey was going to have the rookie season that he just had a year ago? Probably not. So I look at the Packers as in a better situation, even though Harbaugh's a really good coach. But I will go with Herbert because I think ultimately
he has better physical tools and he has a higher ceiling than what Jordan Love does have.
All right, now we're going to go with some draft symmetry. Let's look at some number two overall picks. The last two number two quarterbacks in the draft, C.J. Stroud, who was number two 2 years ago, and Jaden Daniels, who was number two last year. Both have made impressive runs, turning franchises around.
So 2 years ago, after C.J. Stroud's rookie season, what did people say? It's the greatest rookie season we've ever seen from a quarterback. Then who did him one better? It was Jaden Daniels the following season, where they said, oh no, that's the greatest rookie season we've seen from a quarterback. C.J. Stroud, the last 2 years, he took the Texans from the outhouse. So I don't want to say the penthouse, but he took them to like a very nice 4-star resort. And he's made the playoffs twice. He's won 2 playoff games. Jaden Daniels not only did what C.J. Stroud did, changing that entire organization around, but he also took them to a NFC championship game in year one. And I look at those two players, both are phenomenal quarterbacks. But Jaden Daniels has more of an explosive game to him because of his legs. I think both, you never have to be worried about off the field. Both are very good leaders in the locker room. But ultimately, I think there is more superstar potential with Jaden Daniels compared to C.J. Stroud. You always knew Stroud was going to be good. The question is, could he be great? Jaden Daniels, you've seen him win a Heisman Trophy in college, and he'll also be great in year one in the NFL. So I would go Jaden Daniels here.
And then from those same two drafts, the number one picks, Bryce Young, obviously struggled his rookie year, but kind of seemed to come on at the end of last year. And of course, Caleb Williams, who had a little bit of an up and down year with the Bears.
Yeah, so I think both of these quarterbacks know situation matter. And Bryce Young was placed in a terrible situation in year one. Caleb Williams was placed in a terrible situation in year one. Bryce Young turned it around last year. Dave Canales is an offensive-minded head coach. And David Tepper kind of took a back seat, and David Tepper didn't become a malcontent this past season. With all that being said, Bryce Young was benched, then he was thrown back into the fire, and there was a little extra motivation. Caleb Williams is a more gifted quarterback than Bryce Young, and I don't know if we could still say the ceiling of Bryce Young is great. Even though Caleb Williams didn't have a great season this past year, I still think people expect him to be a franchise quarterback and be a great quarterback. For Bryce Young, this is a major year for him where we'll really find a better idea on how we're going to talk about Bryce Young moving forward, because it was one terrible year where he got excuses and they were deserved excuses. And then last year, he did a good job towards the end of the season of putting lipstick on a pig and making us change the way that we view him. And it was a very feel-good story. I just think Caleb Williams has the higher ceiling and there's still less wear and tear on that body right now, an NFL pain that Bryce Young's been through, that Caleb Williams has only been through for one season. So I would still go with Caleb Williams. I think Bryce Young's the better leader, but I do think Caleb Williams is the better quarterback. I'll take the better quarterback of this one and go with Caleb Williams.
Now we've got two quarterbacks who have high expectations for historic franchises. Brock Purdy, who just got his big deal. Dak Prescott, who got his big deal a couple years ago, but both of them with a lot on their shoulders to prove with their teams.
I think you'd say both these quarterbacks entering this season are not a top 10 quarterback. I don't think that's a crazy statement to make whatsoever. Like, that's not a hot take. You know, I would have said that 4 years ago about Dak. People would be like, oh, this guy's a moron. This guy doesn't know ball, blah, 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 blah. But you look at Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott, I think they're very similar and they're both viewed as good. The question is, can they be great? And Dak had one MVP caliber season, even though he didn't win the award. Dak, though, has had so many playoff blunders, and the Cowboys have had so many playoff blunders. And even though both were never high draft picks, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. So I look at Brock Purdy since he's younger, since he's been further along in the postseason, I'm going to hitch my wagon more to Brock Purdy than Dak Prescott. Like, I don't think there is a way for Dak Prescott to be viewed as a top 5, top 10 quarterback. Well, I'm really more so top 5. He could be viewed as top 10, even though I don't view him as a top 10 right now. But I don't think we're ever going to look at Dak and say, oh, that's a Hall of Famer. Oh, that's a great quarterback. I'm not saying that you will look that way at Brock Purdy, but you can't say that there's no chance of that happening right now. So I'll believe more in Brock Purdy than Dak Prescott. I just kind of think the ship has sailed on Dak, even though he's the highest AAV quarterback in the NFL. But you know what you're getting, and it's not going to be anything that's associated with greatness.
And the last one I got for you, two guys who've been underrated for a long time, but they've done nothing but win wherever they go, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff.
I go Baker Mayfield. And quite frankly, I think if you ask the Detroit Lions, would you rather pay Jared Goff in the contract that he has right now, which is what, $52 or $53 million a year? Or would you rather the Baker contract, which was 3 years, $100 million? I think Baker may, and I know that the Bucs lost the Lions in the postseason 2 years ago. I think the Bucs, I think the Lions would rather have Baker Mayfield. I just think Baker Mayfield's the better player. Jared Goff is very good. Jared Goff has lasted in Detroit longer than anyone could have expected him, or even Brad Holmes when he made that trade. I just look at Baker Mayfield as a better player than Jared Goff, so I would go with Baker Mayfield. And both are in good situations, don't get me wrong. But after replacing Tom Brady, did anyone think Baker Mayfield was going to last this long with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I did not. So I would go Baker in that regard. So I'd take Allen over Lamar Jackson, Drake May over Bo Nix, Sam Darnold over Geno Smith, Justin Herbert slightly over Jordan Love, Jaden Daniels over C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams over Bryce Young, Brock Purdy over Dak Prescott, and Baker Mayfield over Jared Goff. It is a Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Who has the most pressure on them with the New York Knicks tonight? I'll give you my answer on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. All right, you got Game 5 tonight at Madison Square Garden. Will it be a funeral for the Knicks, or will you see the New York Knicks have a little life and maybe get that heartbeat going, and maybe there could be some light about potentially leaving sports hospice? Is that going to be the case with the Knicks tonight? And even if the Knicks do win tonight, I think the general sentiment is going to be that they would end up losing to the Indiana Pacers in six. Something tells me, which will probably mean that the Knicks do lose tonight, but something tells me that I believe that the Knicks win five, they win six, and then they lose in game seven. That's what I'm thinking right now. But the Pacers are just a better team. The Pacers, their pace is unbelievable. The way that they get to their spots and the Knicks are basically sucking wind and the threes are wide open, it's just been something that the Indiana Pacers, they just jab, they jab, they jab, they jab. And then when you get to the fourth quarter outside of really game three, you get to just see the Indiana Pacers just assert their dominance in this one. And the closing out of the quarters are massive too. You look the other night, it was a six-point game with a minute 24 to go in the third, and the end of the fourth down 11. Now, it's one thing to come on back, you know, down by 10 in a fourth quarter of an NBA game or down by 11, but to do it back-to-back nights is so tough, or in back-to-back games is so tough. And the Knicks are at one point down 20 in game three. They were down 10 going into the fourth. They came on back in game three. They won. But to do that in another team's building especially, and I know they had the two 20-point comebacks up against the Celtics and all that, but to do that again in game four, you knew that it was rather unlikely. And even though the game wasn't over when it got down to 11, but it almost felt like, you're getting into a dicey situation. You're getting backed into a corner. Your legs are getting really wobbly. And you knew that the Knicks weren't going to be able to pull that one out. So we'll see. Thunder already got through. That series is over in five. Dunzo in five. In hockey, you had the Panthers. They end that series in five last night up against the Hurricanes. We'll see if the Oilers could finish off this deal tonight in five up against the Stars. You know that the NBA wants to see this go to six. At bare minimum, you got to get this to six. You got to squeeze a few more days out of this series, and you would have game number five be on Saturday in Indianapolis. But you look at it tonight, the New York Knicks, they're a 4.5-point favorite. I think on the money line, last time I looked, they were minus 160. So Vegas is basically telling you they think the Knicks are going to win tonight. But this Indiana team, they've been defying the odds all season long. And they continue to not get praise. They finally have had a moment of praise. So do they start to feel themselves a little bit and they're not all that locked in? It's not minus 180, the Knicks on the money line. So yeah, I don't want to say I'm shocked. But if you put a gun to my head and said, Zach, who wins tonight? I should say the Pacers if the gun is to my head. But I do feel like the Knicks are going to find a way to get this to a game six. So if the Knicks do lose, though, whether that's tonight, whether that's game six, whether that's game seven, you know everyone's going to look for someone to blame. And I said this going into the postseason, that everyone was blaming Tom Thibodeau. They were looking for a reason to fire Tibbs, even though Tibbs is the first coach since Pat Riley was coaching this team to get back-to-back 50-win seasons. But I said there's a lot of pressure on Mikal Bridges. And sure, Mikal Bridges was awesome in games one and two up against the Boston Celtics, but Mikal Bridges has been brutal in this series, absolutely brutal in this series up against the Indiana Pacers.
So you look at the Knicks this offseason. I think with Brian Geltzeiler joining us in studio earlier, people are going to expect changes. I don't know how many big changes you're going to get. Do I think Kat's going to be on this team next year? Yes. Jalen Brunson's obviously going to be on this team next year. Do you think OG Anunoby's going to be on this team next year? Yes. Is Mikal Bridges going to be on this team next year? I think that's the one guy that could be traded. But ultimately, when you gave up all the picks that you did give, aren't you going to bring back Mikal Bridges for one more go at it? And you look at this group the way that it's constructed, and you look at the East right now, the luster is worn off on the Bucks. They won their championship. Giannis may not be on the team next year. You look at Indiana, is this their moment right now, or will this be something that continues? I think it's going to continue. But could they maybe go out earlier next year? Yeah, it's possible. The Cavs even have limitations right now. The Celtics next year are a non-factor without Jason Tatum or him being out for the majority of the season, if not all of next season. So it almost behooves the Knicks to run it back. But I can guarantee this. Whenever the Knicks lose, people are going to say, oh, it's on Tibbs. There's other reasons, there's other players to blame. I think eventually you just have to tip your cap and say the Pacers are the better team. But when you're in New York, when you're the better seed, and also just in sports in general, when a coach or a player is under the spotlight, who's easier to get rid of? It's the coach. Now, I don't think they're going to get rid of Tibbs. I do not. And I know Knicks fans are going to call in. They're going to say, oh, well, what about Michael Malone? Michael Malone's won a championship. Their styles are too similar. Michael Malone is a demanding coach. Tom Thibodeau is a demanding coach. You know, outside of Jay Wright, which I do not think he's coming out of retirement and making the jump to the NBA. But maybe he would because these are Nova guys. Outside of Jay Wright going and coaching that team, if the Knicks are getting rid of Tom Thibodeau, I don't think it's for a Michael Malone. I think it's for a younger coach, really an inexperienced coach, and someone who's viewed as player-friendly. It's more likely, and I know that this guy just got hired, but for comparison's sakes, it's more likely that the Knicks would hire someone like a David Adelman than they would a Michael Malone. And I understand, hey, Malone, he's not decrepit. He's not really old. He's 53. Turns 54 in September. But the styles are too similar in Tibbs and Michael Malone in terms of their personalities that I think the Knicks would then bring in Michael Malone. So you look at the Knicks, even if they lose tonight, they lose Saturday, they lose in a game seven on Monday. Would that be Monday or Tuesday for game seven? It would be Monday at MSG. I don't think the Knicks are getting rid of Tom Thibodeau. I think they would run it back for one more season. And also remember, and eventually maybe sometimes you have to go past your relationships and you got to make a difficult move. But that kind of triangle of Leon Rose, Brunson, and Tom Thibodeau, very close. And Leon and Tom Thibodeau, extremely close. So who's the guy making those decisions? It's the president of the New York Knicks in Leon Rose. I would be very surprised. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'd be very surprised if we enter next basketball season, assuming this one ends tonight or in six or in seven, if Tom Thibodeau is not the coach of the New York Knicks next season. But who will be the number one person to blame? Who will people blame right away? I think people are going to blame Tom Thibodeau right away. Do I think he's the first person I blame? Is he free of all blame? Is he exonerated at all? Absolutely not. No. Because this is a great opportunity to go get to an NBA Finals that you don't know when these opportunities are going to come again. But he's not the first guy I blame. You know, it's tough to blame Jalen Brunson because of how great his offense is. But his defense has been non-existent. And I understand what Jalen Brunson's done. He's turned around this franchise. Am I going to sit there and crush Karl Anthony Towns at the Game 3 performance? No, but you get what you get with Kat. Some games he's awesome, some games he's not. Bridges, to me, is the player deserving of the most blame. And I know what he did in those first two games up against the Boston Celtics, but he's been a zero offensively. And you can't afford for him to be a zero offensively. So those X factors for the Knicks were really, it was OG and it was Mikal Bridges. And those guys' offenses have just been too inconsistent. We know what they could be as defensive players. Their offensive game needs to be better. But I do think, what I think compared to what Knicks fans think will be different. I think the Knicks fan is going to just shred Tom Thibodeau if they lose this series. And he'll be the number one person in Knicks fans' mind to end up losing. All right, that is the Zach Gelb Show. to blame if they end up losing. All right, it is Zach Gelbsch on the Infinity Sports Network. Fun show today. Big thanks to Brian Geltzeiler for joining us in studio. We'll be back tomorrow on a Friday right at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time across all of our local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 375, and the always free Odyssey app. Big thanks to Santa. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to Ack. And each and every one of you for tuning into the show, however you do so. Tomorrow, we will see if we will have a team in the NHL join the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final, as the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars do have puck drop tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll see if the Oklahoma City Thunder do have a partner to tangle with in the NBA Finals. Will it be the Indiana Pacers who go up against the Knicks? And the Pacers are one win away from going to the NBA Finals. That game 5 is at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Will the New York Knicks dangle a little carrot in front of their fans' face and maybe give them a reason to believe that they could go on and get two more wins in this series if they're able to get the victory tonight? We'll talk about it all tomorrow. All righty. Have a good night, everybody. I'm Zach Gelb. I'm out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.